but one of my early memories with as a selectman was going out to Sheriff Howe's with Evelyn to collect some timber tax. Gay Price had a mill down on South Merrimack Road, and he cut some of the lots. This was after the war, and the mill ran flat out and did very good work. And the sheriff and Evelyn were long-time buddies. Long-time buddies. And the Glovers were involved because Milt Glover married a Howe. But it wasn't the right Howe. It should have been the other Howe. So he and the sheriff were always doing this. So we went up one day. He said, "Dick, we got to go up and collect this money. Nauman owes us $1,600, and we got to go get it." And I said, "Well, what are we doing?" She said, "We jump in the car and we go." So up we go. And it's where Sue Durham lives now, you know, over on Hayden Road. That was where the sheriff lived, and that house. Sue and Frank lived there now. And, okay, Evelyn was a very dynamic person, you know. And Jack was absolutely your build. I mean, you'd be a dead ringer for him. He was an interpreter in the French army during the First War. He deciphered what the Germans had on their mind when they took a prisoner and everything. But anyway, we got up there, and I'm going in. This is a nice old house. It's a little beat up, but no. So I go in with Evelyn, and we go in the door, and we're in almost a great room, like this, with a big old stove sitting on the far wall, couch, a couple of reclining chairs, in which one of them was this very big man, big statured man, the sheriff. The first thing you saw was that the room was black. Soot. Soot. Absolutely. You know, you could write your name in anything. And Norman wasn't too much of a housekeeper, but he liked to stay warm.
Not much of a housekeeper, but liked to stay warm.
Right. So I don't know. What the heck? I wasn't even 40. I'd never seen anything like this, you know. Greeted us warmly. Sit right down, and coffee, anything I can do. And Evelyn broke the bad news. "We're in a hurry, Norman. We need the money." And it's
$1,600. That's a lot of money.
And don't stick. It was a whole lot of money. So I'm sitting there and I'm watching. What's this man doing? He's going over to the chair and he's picking up the cushion. Money comes out. He goes behind the sofa, behind the cushion, and then money comes out. He goes over, true story. He goes and takes books out of the bookshelf, money comes out. Starts counting it up. Well, I haven't got enough. He goes, took out some more books. We had $1,600 in cash. He had lost money from the bank that went under back in the 20s.
And he didn't trust banks.
He did not trust banks, and it was definitely put it under your mattress or somewhere like that.
He had it all in his house.
Oh yeah. I mean, we came home with $1,600 in cash, not a problem. I'm sure there was a lot more than that around. But that's something you would never see,
yeah.
And I never forgot.
Yeah.
But I think the whole you say, what was the town like then? People were caring. You know, if somebody was sick or needed help, the neighborhood would get together and buy groceries or whatever and come and help. It was much more intertwined than you find today, and it was a different way of life. It really was. You know.
Even though you know you were on your 100 or 200 acres and other farmers were on theirs, how often did you see each other so that you could develop these bonds of friendship and wealth?
The social activities were policeman's ball, fireman's ball, this type of thing. There was a little poker that went on here and there in the evening, but for the farming community where you met and got caught up was down at the grain car every 2 weeks. And everybody went down and took home their 2-ton or 5-ton or whatever it was and exchanged.